Do you want victory? You can have it in Christ Jesus.
Time once again for Abiding in Christ with Jim Wood.
You have to step back, evaluate the various positions in light of Scripture, and then re-engage with a godly perspective.
Pastor Wood is the founder and executive director of Weirs Valley Ranch, a Christian home and school for kids from crisis family situations.
Jesus said, "As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Abide in my love."
You can contact the program by calling 866-41-ABIDE or by visiting us on the web at wvr.org. And now, without further delay, here's your host, Jim Wood.
Well, folks, we're right in the middle of the month, and this is a month of new beginnings. January is a time when a lot of people feel like they get to start fresh. I think there are a lot of people who are wanting a fresh start for a lot of reasons in a lot of spheres of their life. But whatever you're going through right now, I want to talk with you about a subject that is a very difficult one for a lot of folks to think about. Some people will probably want to change the station right away because it's like, oh no, I can't believe he's going to talk about that. I wanted to hear something happy. Well, there's good news in the midst of it. In fact, there's a lot of good news in the midst of it. But I want to talk with you this evening about abortion. This month marks another anniversary of the Roe v. Wade decision by the U.S. Supreme Court back in 1973. Many people who have heard of Roe v. Wade don't really understand what it said or what it did, what it accomplished. What it accomplished was the demolition of protections all across the United States for preborn children. It had a companion decision with it, Doe versus Bolton. Those two decisions together, rendered by the court in 1973, effectively made it open season on the unborn. And this was done, it was raw judicial abuse of power. It was legislating from the bench. It was not constitutionally defensible. Even a lot of people who were in favor of abortion and held personally to a pro-choice position were stunned and have said in subsequent years that they were very shocked by the way that the Supreme Court reached its decision and the way that the decision of Roe v. Wade was recorded. Because the argument was that the justices saw the shadow of a penumbra on the law that made it such that they could do this. Now, if you aren't sure what a penumbra is, if you've ever looked at the moon when it's not full, like a half a moon or a sliver of a moon or whatever, and you see in shadow, as it were, the rest of the moon, you know, you see the part that's brightly lit by the sun that's down over the horizon, but then you see also just sort of dimly the rest of the shape of that orb up there in the sky. The part that is in shadow, the part that's in the dark, is the penumbra. It's that little dark part that you can't really see. It's not clearly illumined, but it's there. You can tell it's there. Well, a penumbra basically is something that's in shadow. They saw the shadow of a shadow. They saw the shadow of the part you can't see. That is hogwash. That is doublespeak. That is certainly no basis for the courts to have struck down the laws that had been duly enacted through the democratic process all across this country. But the justices on the Supreme Court in 1973, like the justices today on the Supreme Court, had an agenda. They had a position they wanted to advocate. And since they're not allowed to make the law, and please remember that the Supreme Court is not allowed to make the law. Since they couldn't make the law, they just decided to break the law. They would demolish laws that had been duly enacted. And that's what they did. And in Doe v. Bolton, the companion decision, what they did was to define what constitutes the health of the mother. They said that the health of the mother, it doesn't have to be her physical health. It can be her emotional well-being. Meaning, if this pregnancy might make her really unhappy, that as long as two doctors, and it can be two doctors who kill babies for a living, that's okay. As long as two doctors will say that this woman's health is jeopardized by continuing this pregnancy. And again, that can be, the court said it can be her emotional well-being. If she would not be happy to have this child, then she can abort the child through all 9 months of pregnancy. So Doe v. Bolton actually made Roe v. Wade far worse than just Roe v. Wade. Roe v. Wade was horrible. Doe v. Bolton made it worse because Roe v. Wade said that the states could enact restrictions on later pregnancies, pregnancies that were further along, children who might be able to live outside the womb. We can protect those children, said Roe v. Wade. But Doe v. Bolton said, yeah, but not if the mother doesn't want the child, which essentially means there are no protections. And that's why for a long time, every effort on the part of the states to try and do something to stop late-term abortions was thwarted. And some of us remember back when Bill Clinton was in the White House, and he said that he had to veto the protection against late-term abortion, partial birth abortion, where a child is literally partway delivered and then murdered as it's coming out of the womb. He said he had to stop that protection because it didn't allow an exception for the health of the mother, not for the life of the mother, for the health of the mother. There is no circumstance in which a woman's health is protected by killing a full-term baby as it's coming out of the womb. That just isn't so. Partial birth abortion is never beneficial for the health of the mother. That is simply a lie, and it unfortunately remained the status quo for a long time. Thank God, in recent years, there has actually been some progress, and there's been progress on a number of fronts. On the one hand, we continue to have millions of children killed, and that's tragic. That is horrible. On the other hand, God has done something beautiful. He has changed the hearts of many Americans. More and more young people are pro-life. And one of the things that's brought it about is the tremendous advancement of technology in the area of ultrasounds. People are now able to look at children in the womb and see unmistakable evidence. This is not a mass of undifferentiated cells. This is not a blob of tissue. This is not simply something we can call the product of conception, another euphemism that Planned Parenthood and their gang like to use. This is a person. This is a child. This is a baby. And when folks begin to see that child through this wonderful new technology, the tremendous advancement with ultrasounds, they become much less willing to kill that child. Let me read to you from a passage that was read much around Christmas time, but a lot of people, I think, miss the implications. In Luke chapter 1, beginning in verse 39, at that time Mary got ready and hurried to a town in the hill country of Judah, where she entered Zechariah's home and greeted Elizabeth. When Elizabeth heard Mary's greeting, the baby leaped in her womb. That's little John the Baptist, leaping in his mother's womb. He was 6 months along. And Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. In loud voice she exclaimed, "Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the child you will bear. But why am I so favored that the mother of my Lord should come to me? As soon as the sound of your greeting reached my ears, the baby in my womb leaped for joy. Blessed is she who has believed what the Lord has said to her will be accomplished." Now, folks, I want you to notice the child in Mary's womb, Jesus, had an impact on the child in Elizabeth's womb. Mary had just conceived Jesus. This was a new thing. But the Lord, by his Holy Spirit, already had a relationship with John the Baptist. And John the Baptist leaped for joy. He leaped for joy, jumped within the womb. And his mother recognized it. You say, "Oh, don't you think that's just poetry?" No, I believe it is the inspired word of God. And if you and I want to understand what's right and what's wrong about issues, we need to go to the scriptures and see what God says. And God makes it abundantly clear in the Old and the New Testament that children are precious. Remember the disciples who, dealing with children outside the womb, children who'd already been born, tried to keep parents from being able to get to Jesus with their little ones? And Jesus rebuked the disciples, and he said, "Let the little children come to me. Don't prevent them. Don't put an obstacle in their way. For of such is the kingdom of heaven." Let me tell you something. God cares deeply about children. Jesus says, "Don't look down on these little ones, for I tell you the truth. Their angels behold my Father's face every day." Little children are precious in God's sight. And so we need to rejoice in the fact that more and more people in our society, more and more young people in our society, are recognizing that it is not okay to be killing the babies. Now, the Planned Parenthood folks hate it when we call those lives babies, when we call them children. But that's what they are. The fact of the matter is, those same children that Planned Parenthood wants to be able to snuff out, those same children are capable, many of them, of living outside the womb. It's becoming possible to take care of those children earlier and earlier outside the womb. And so the whole discussion about viability, when is a child able to live outside of the mother, that becomes more and more difficult for the scientific community to say with certainty. Because, again, thank God, there have been tremendous advances in the NICU. There have been marvelous examples of children who were given little or no chance of survival, or if they survive, they're going to be severely handicapped. Folks, I know some of those kids. I've seen what's happened, and I'll tell you this. Even people who have physical challenges are precious in God's sight. My oldest child was born full term, but he was born with spina bifida and hydrocephalus. And as a result, his whole life, he's in his 30s now, he's getting close to 40, and the fact of the matter is his whole life has been filled with medical challenges and daily difficulties that he's had to deal with and we've had to deal with. And I'll tell you this, I wouldn't trade him for $1 billion or $100 billion. He's my son. I love him. He's a wonderful human being. He's my brother in Christ. He loves Jesus. And he has had a ministry of encouragement to many other people. So when people say, "Oh, but you know, if they're born too early, they're going to have physical challenges." Well, that may be true, though sometimes they do a lot better than the doctors warned. But regardless of the physical challenges, nobody has the right to just say, "Well, I don't think that that's a life worth living, so we're going to snuff it out." You don't have that right. God doesn't give us that authority. The Bible tells us, consider your children a gift from the Lord. The fruit of the womb is his reward. And we need to rejoice. One of my staff has recently let it be known that they're about to have their 9th child. God bless them. That's a handful. But the fact of the matter is, every single one of those kids is precious. And they wouldn't give up any of the ones they already have. Do they have any physical challenges in the family that they've got already? Yes. They've got some children with health issues, one in particular who's got a couple of serious conditions. But that doesn't mean they shouldn't have more children. That means that God has blessed each of those children with parents who love them and who are eager for them to know Jesus. It's a beautiful thing to see how God loves the children. Now, if you want good information on this, I'll tell you one place you can get it. There's going to be a conference in Washington, D.C. For the first time, the Ethics and Religious Liberty Agency of the Southern Baptist Convention is partnering with Focus on the Family to put on a conference in Washington, D.C., celebrating life, dealing with the issue of abortion, encouraging people to appreciate how precious each child is, and doing this in conjunction with the March for Life there in Washington, D.C. Some of you could make it to Washington, D.C. and be a part of that celebration. I prayed about going and concluded that it would be better for me to stay here and live stream the event for our school and for our church. And we're going to do that right here in East Tennessee. You can go online, find out more about that. If you say, well, I couldn't find it, well, then contact us. And we'll be glad to tell you how to get more information. But folks, there's going to be a ton of information, some very inspiring speakers, and information about strategy where you can make a difference. Traditional politicians have demonstrated horrible impotence when it comes to getting things done on this issue. But the people of God are not limited to politics. Doesn't mean we can't be involved in politics or shouldn't be involved in politics. It means that there's so much more we can do beyond that. There is so much more that we can do. Here in East Tennessee, East Tennessee Right to Life has been doing some tremendous work that has had an impact statewide, and our state here, the state of Tennessee, has become a focal point for both pro-life and the anti-life forces nationwide. When there was an amendment to the Tennessee Constitution, state constitution, in order to protect the right of the people of Tennessee to decide what the laws would be concerning the issue of abortion, an amendment was needed. Tennessee Right to Life worked hard, got the job done, and the consequence now is not that all preborn life in Tennessee is protected. The consequence of that amendment was that now the voters in Tennessee get to decide what the law is going to be. And the state Supreme Court is not able to just pretend that the Constitution of the state of Tennessee provides a guarantee of abortion on demand, which is what some liberal justices had put in place years ago. Thank God there is a place for political process, but that political process only worked as people worked outside the political process to organize and educate and inspire and motivate and get people out. And money from Planned Parenthood and other groups poured into Tennessee trying to block Amendment 1 from happening. But they couldn't stop it. They outspent the pro-life community. I think it was like 3-1. And Tennessee still voted to protect the right of the voters to decide whether or not children should be protected in Tennessee. So there is a lot that we can celebrate, a lot that can be done, and I want to encourage you to get educated on this subject. And when you're looking for information, please be wise. Don't take the word of an organization like Planned Parenthood that is responsible for the death of more children than any other organization in this country. Planned Parenthood is an organization that has been proven over and over and over to lie. They lie. Why would we be surprised when they kill babies for a living? Why would we be surprised that they turn out to be liars? Generally speaking, murderers are not opposed to lying. They're willing to lie in order to try and protect themselves. But I'll tell you something else. We have something that is much stronger than politics. We have something much stronger than PR. We have the gospel. And God has actually, all across this country, been calling some people from within Planned Parenthood to come to faith in Jesus Christ. No matter what a person has done, it is possible for God to save that person. And I want to encourage you to realize that the Holy Spirit of God can use the gospel to change a person's mind, to change a person's heart, to change a person's life. If you're suffering the guilt of having been a part of an abortion yourself, please know that God offers not only forgiveness, but He offers His sincere love. He actually loves you. Jesus came to save sinners. And so the gospel is the power of God for the salvation of all who believe. And I want to encourage you, whatever your sin issue may be, whatever your struggle in this life may be, call out to Jesus and realize that He's there for you. He loves you more than you can imagine, and He offers you a life of purpose, a life of service to Him. And I pray that you will trust in Him and find the joy that comes in being His child. You see, no matter what we've done, it can be washed away with the blood of the Lamb. God loved us so much that He sent Jesus to the cross to take our place, to take our punishment. You say, well, I don't know that God could ever forgive someone like me. You don't know what I've done. No, I don't know what you've done, but God does. And He's still talking to you right now, offering you forgiveness and a brand new life. You may say, well, I don't think that God should forgive those people. They've done something so bad. Hey, let me tell you something. If you think you're better than they are, it's because you don't understand what God says about pride. It's because you don't understand what God says about self-righteousness. Satan has all kinds of disguises, but he is very much at home in religious circles. And if you think that you are righteous on the basis of what you have and have not done, you have not understood God's word. Jesus told a story about two men who went to the temple to pray. One said, God, I thank you that I'm not like other men. Jesus said God didn't even listen to his prayer. But another was ashamed of what he'd done, and he beat his chest and said, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. Jesus said that man went home justified. And I want you to know that offer of justification, forgiveness of sins, reconciliation with a holy God is still good today. God is offering you a place at His table if you will trust in Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. God bless you. Have a great evening and a great weekend. Be sure and tune in next week.
Thank you for listening to Abiding in Christ with Pastor Jim Wood. Pastor Wood is a popular speaker for family and marriage retreats, conferences, and pro-life fundraisers. If you are planning an event, a retreat, or conference and would like to invite Pastor Wood to speak or teach, please visit WVR.org and fill out our speaker request form. At this site, you will also find over a dozen books authored by Pastor Wood and his wife, Susan, Again, please visit WVR.org today.